Hello. Thanks for listening and watching You at Options. This episode, I have Jones Willingham on the program. Great photographer out of Birmingham. He does a lot of work at Avondale. He does all the booking. Just great conversation. Fun to talk about his live photography style, the things that he enjoys, the things that just piss him the hell off. People using Nintendo 3DSs in the photography pit. But yeah, great conversation. Make sure you go follow Jones on Instagram. His account is at Jones Takes Your Photos. Make sure to go follow You Should Be Listening, his account that he uses for booking. It's the letter U and then the words Should Be Listening. Yeah, make sure you go follow You at Options, at You at Options on Instagram. My band, The Handsome Scoundrels, have a new video out for our new song, Erebus. It's on the YouTubes. And we have a new EP coming out next week on 419. Yeah, great talk. Hope you enjoy. Go support local music. Go support any art and music that you like, because it means a lot to the artists. Thank you so much. Hope you enjoy. Thanks for joining me, Jones.
God damn.
Owen. Owen. Who is Owen?
I don't know. I had Owen in my brain. Okay, we're starting over. I'm sorry, Jones. Jones. Sorry. I don't know where Owen came from.
Thank you, Owen. Thank you. Thank you. That's funny. It's not even my name. Glad to be here. Hi.
I don't know where Owen came. Maybe I was talking or watching like Owen Wilson clip. I can't remember.
I actually think, weird, this is just where my brain went. I share a birthday with Vince Vaughn.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother shares a birthday with Owen Wilson.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so we're the odds, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think somewhere someone like that was locked in.
It's meant to be. Oh, Jones. Oh, my God. Thanks for joining me, finally.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've been talking about this for months.
Yeah, I know. I was just going through our DMs to figure out, because I put into the world, I was like, someone put me on a podcast and
right.
slid up and was like, yeah, let's do it. And this was...
probably last year at some point.
Yeah, it was May of last year.
Was it May of last
May
year?
May 31st
Holy
of last
shit.
Year. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so. That's just how it goes, man. That's how it goes.
It's life. Yeah, we're talking about that. It's always, there's always something going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I brought you here because of your photography.
Yes, yeah. I do a couple different things. I do all the marketing for Avondale Brewing Company and the shows, and then I started doing I've been doing photography, like concert photography.
Yeah.
God, how old am I? It's 7 or 8 years now, since I was in college. And now I'm like working with more like clients and stuff. Directly.
So were you always taking pictures like as a kid, or was photography your thing?
It's funny, it wasn't, but like it was in my family. So my grandmother was like the type of grandma that like was always carrying around her cameras to everything and forcing us to take photos, and no one wanted to.
Damn,
damn it, she was gonna
you
take,
got like, to yeah, yeah
yeah. And then growing up, my dad, like, I started going to, like, shows and stuff yeah. super young, and my dad was always the guy that brought the little, like, Minolta digital camera and was just filming everything. Like,
okay.
He was that asshole in the crowd, like, with his camera up. Before, like, we had cameras on cell phones.
Right.
Filming, like, whole sets of
it. Damn.
As a result, like, we have, like, the coolest videos ever of, like, concerts in Birmingham at, like, Bottle Tree and some stuff at Cave 9 and stuff like that. That's, like, obviously it's, like, shitty quality compared to what we have
now. Right, yeah, yeah.
But, No, I never took, like, any photos as a kid beyond me and my brother, like, filming stupid, like, YouTube videos.
Yeah.
It really just fell in my lap. I was sneaking cameras in, like, in high school a little bit to shoot shows, and then I got to college and realized, like, oh, this is kind of fun, and I might be kind of good at it, and yeah. just dove off into it there.
So, do you do, like, other types of photography, or...
I tried to.
Like, yeah.
Like, when I first got started, I was like, I'm not going to be a concert photographer. Like,
yeah,
not my thing. Like, it's fun to do on the side, but it's just, I want to do portraits. I want to make money because you can do that.
Oh,
photography,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I did that, and I just absolutely hated it. And then, like, slowly realized, like, oh, no, the concert thing's more fun. And
yeah.
Dove into it there.
I would imagine, from, like, an artistic standpoint, the... portrait photography is kind of like the office space day job of of artistic photographers.
Maybe a little bit.
No offense to
any. No. I know, like, a couple of concert photographers around town. Like, David Smith is someone that comes to mind that, like, crushes it with, like, the grad photos and kind of, like, brings in his own vision to make it look cool, and then he's also a concert photographer that shoots everything, so there's a blend, but it can definitely become the office space,
like, yeah.
just kind of day job of some sorts. I don't know, I got a little bored with it, honestly.
That's fair,
because I've never been great at, like, posing people. I never, like,
yeah, like, put your arm like this
and, yeah, like, yeah. any, and I still take, like, senior photos for friends and a couple of weddings here and there from time to time, and I hate posing people, so I'm just like, just look comfortable. Like, it'll look good if you look comfortable.
Yeah.
Concerts, I don't know, there's kind of like the, in live events in general, not just music, but I've done, like, theater and comedy and that sort of stuff. There's kind of a spontaneity to it that,
yeah,
you know, you're either going to get it or you're not going to get it, and then it's going to happen again, and maybe you get it the next time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, I think it's like a rush of adrenaline for, you know, 10 minutes that makes it fun for me.
With, say you, like, miss a cool shot during a show, like you were just saying, it might come back around. Do you make a mental note of, like, oh, this guy was in preparation for that move, he was doing this thing,
sometimes, yeah. Like, I'll,
or do you, like, watch film of a band before, and you're like, oh, this...
Sometimes, you know, if it's, like, a bigger shoot, I haven't done any arena shoots, but if it's, like, amphitheater size or whatever, like,
yeah.
I shot, Gorillaz at Ameris Amphitheater a couple years back,
okay.
which was just huge bucket list for me.
Yeah.
One of my favorite bands as a kid. Me and my dad went, and it was awesome. And obviously, it's a show that, like, focuses heavily on the visual, because
right.
they're, like, a visual band or whatever. So I was going through and watching, like, some of the tour footage to just bookmark in my head, like, okay, if these are the three songs that I get to shoot,
this
is what they're going to do so that we can line it up. But most of the time, no. I'm just kind of winging it,
that's
honestly.
Cool.
And you hope for the best. You hope you don't get someone that's, like, boring that stands in one place the whole time. But sometimes you do, and that's, like, part of the challenge of how do you make it interesting.
Cool.
Yeah. And so you can do that with editing style or, you know, catching the one moment that they might move around. But it's really just a free-for-all of just making it work when you don't really know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Now, touring photography is totally different. If you're, like, on tour with a band every night, which I've been able to do, like, a couple of, like, quick little regional runs here and there, then you can kind of plan a little bit better of, like, okay, I know my guitarist is going to do this song, but most of the work I'm doing now, it's just kind of hoping for the best.
It just seems like I would be so caught up in myself for, like, missing something. I guess it's like you got to have a short-term memory of, like fucking screwing this pooch. Yeah.
Nah, the amount of almost shots that I've got where just something is just, like, out of focus, and it would have been the greatest thing ever if like, it wasn't focused on what's behind. Or worst thing of all is that just the mic stand is in focus in front of them. So yeah, you just gotta keep shooting, and you also don't want to be obnoxious, and you don't want to go through like 4,000 photos at the end of the night. So it's just a balance to be found.
Do you try and like hide into the like audience? I don't know if that makes sense at all. Or what do you like?
It depends on the venue.
Yeah,
there are a couple of venues. So I do. I'm the house photographer for Iron City, and then obviously the house photographer for Avondale.
Right.
And so there we've got like a pretty spacious photo pit where I'm just going to piss off whoever I'm in front of three songs and then get out. Anytime I shoot in like a theater, so like the Alabama Theater or the Ryman or the Fox Theater in Atlanta, there is no pit. You were just like dancing around these seats, just trying to A, not piss off the crowd that's paid to be there.
I paid $500.
Well, and also the artist can totally see all that happening like from the stage. And like the worst case scenario is you getting called out from the stage.
Have you had that happen or a near incident?
Yeah. Yeah. There was one time I was photographing Big Thief at the Ryman.
Okay.
It was my first time at the Ryman, just period. I'd never attended or whatever. So obviously it's like band I love a lot. Yeah. Amazing venue I'd never been to. I'd shot in theaters before, so I kind of knew what the setup was going to be. And the Ryman is like, the acoustics are so good. You can hear a camera shutter go off if it's a band.
Oh, no.
And so I'm just literally, like, the Ryman stage is a little bit smaller, too, because everybody's seated, you know, so you have to be, like, super high. So I'm on my knees, like, at the base of this stage, just, like, shooting up. I was in college. I didn't quite know
what
was
going on. You were young. Like, you didn't know what was going on.
I was young and dumb. So I'm just, like, rapid fire, like, you know, just, like, going off.
Making the noise, yeah.
And you can hear everything. And after the first song, Adrian Lenker, the singer, is like just a soft spoken, just looks directly at me and was like, "Hey, I thought we asked for photographers to be silent."
Oh no.
And it felt like a fucking bullet. I mean, it was just like, she was totally right. It was totally fine, but it felt like a bullet. So I just like moseyed on out and shot the rest from like the high spot.
Shoot through. From my car.
Yeah. So yes, unfortunately. And that was the day that I realized like, oh yeah, you can actually like see everything that's going on if you're standing on stage right there.
That's tough. That's like a, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Oh no! I felt like the black sheep son.
Get him out of here.
Yeah, there's like three other photographers there. They're just silently looking at me. And this was during COVID, so like we're all like masked up too. Everyone's just looking at me, and I just like retreated back into the darkness.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. So. Oh wait, it's a chance to learn.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I was. I think I was like 20. So. I learned quickly that night. Yeah.
When you go to shows and you're not working, do you find yourself like, fuck, I wish I was taking pictures?
Oh man, that's such a funny thing. Like 3 years ago, I would have said yes.
Yeah.
Like the arc of my career between photography and then everything I do at Avondale and then everything I do with You Should Be Listening.
Yeah.
I 3 years ago, before I'd started all that, I was like, I'm going to photograph everything. Mm-hmm. And I can remember being in college and I mean, I was probably driving to Atlanta like 3 times a week to like go. Like it was just horrible. Like that's like not
that's
something
a lot.
That anyone
yeah.
should do. I was doing it for free for a publication that I was shooting for. I was just devouring it. And now like I will just actively like not go to shows. And it's the weirdest thing. It doesn't mean like I don't enjoy it anymore.
Right.
It's become in such a way such a constant in life that it's easier for me to either A, pass on a show completely if I don't want to shoot it, or B, just show up and not like worry about photographing anything. Like the shows that I book now, which is funny because like I'm booking artists now that are some of my favorite artists and, like, in a past life, I would have been like, I'm going to put in to go shoot like Sampha at Saturn or, you know, we just had Slaughter Beach Dog upstairs. I'd be losing my mind. I'm like, nope, I've got other people that can do it. I'm just going to like kick back and relax a little bit. So
I think that's maturity and being I can't fucking do everything.
No. I just remember in college, my dad, who kind of came up in like a similar way and was always like, he was like devouring shit, not doing photography, but just going to every single show as a kid. He was like, it's going to run out. And I'd be like, fuck no, it's not. I'm going to go do everything.
You don't know what you're talking about, old man.
Yeah, I can keep doing this forever. And then I woke up this morning and I'm like, man, my back hurts. I really need to go do this?
Gosh. Yeah. It's a, I guess that's a good place to be too, where you don't have to accept everything or be like, fuck, I need to be shooting the, like, hitting up somebody.
Yeah. Here. And I still have, like, a couple bucket list things that, you know, I'm going to put, like, extra effort to, like, check off. But I'm at a place now where enough is coming to me and I work for enough great people that are able to put me on cool stuff that I can kind of just enjoy shooting instead of just running my ass around the world to do anything and everything.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. What do you, can we talk about a bucket list item? Like what would be a top tier?
Well, so I've somehow never shot an arena show. I've done amphitheaters. So that's always, that's just globally just a big thing that I'd like to do. Yeah.
Oh my God. God damn, these fucking cats, I tell you what. But they're fine, hopefully.
An arena show would be a big one. I'd love to shoot one of like the big three or four festivals, you know, like a Bonnaroo, a Coachella, a Lollapalooza.
Yeah.
I've done Firefly, I've done Pitchfork. And Firefly is a massive festival, but it just doesn't exist in the same conversation as something like Bonnaroo.
Okay.
So I'd love to shoot, like, something of that size.
Yeah.
And the festival photography is a whole different world. I mean, you're just running around like crazy for a whole weekend. And as far as acts go, God, it's interesting. I haven't thought about, like, who in a long time, because the past couple years have been pretty crazy. Like, I always said Radiohead would be, like, a big one that I'd want to photograph, but I photographed The Smile, which is, like, the side project, which is, Tom, you know, close.
And,
it's close enough to be happy with it. You know, God, I just had one in my head that would be really, really cool. It's just gone.
Yeah.
I'd love to shoot a big pop show. Like something that's like...
like a Lady Gaga type, where a crazy stage and...
Yes. Yeah. I had some friends that like shot a ton on Dua Lipa's last tour, and that's not that cool level, but something with that level of production. Obviously, like Taylor Swift would be like amazing. You know, I'm not too keen on the music necessarily, but just the size of the production and the fandom there is like amazing.
But to do like that, or I was trying to think of like, I don't know, like Drake at the BJCC or whatever. Do they have like their own team of people, or do they let like outside?
So it really depends from artist to artist.
Yeah.
So the major Firefly is kind of the biggest festival that I've shot at. So I photographed Green Day, I photographed My Chemical Romance, Dua Lipa, Lizzo, and I remember the Killers headlined one year. And they're
sick.
Yeah, I mean, it's just consistent, like, greatest modern American rock band.
Yeah.
But they were very clear that, and this is like a festival headlining set, you know?
Yeah.
Like, people want to shoot. That's like good publicity.
Right, yeah.
And they will only use their photographer, which is fine. And some artists are like really, really tight about the control thing. I've noticed that in my time at Avondale, that tends to be country music. Like, they're just really, really controlling over like their image and stuff like that. They want to make sure nothing unflattering, you know, gets published, which we've seen those stories of where that happens before.
Right, and
people freak out.
Yeah. That's interesting.
But yeah, it just really, I don't think there's necessarily a rhyme or reason to it. People are just, some artists are more protective over their image than others.
And, yeah.
You know, Billy Strings, that's another good example. I went up to the Huntsville just to see Billy Strings last year, and I was working on like a promotion thing for the show, and I was like, hey, maybe I can photograph it. And they're like, oh, we'll submit you. And then I started scrolling through Billy's Instagram, and there was never any photographer other than like his one guy. And all the venues were never posting anything other than his one guy, who's a great photographer, is awesome.
Yeah.
But that goes to show you, it's not really like genre based. It's like kind of wide open.
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah, it's, I guess, yeah, your image is everything now, especially with, you know, in the social media age.
There was that one, I remember like 15 years ago, someone took a terrible photo of Beyonce at the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, where she's like
Hulk,
the Hulk
Jack. And then like no outside photographer has photographed Beyonce since then.
I think, Beyonce's team tried to erase that from the internet.
Yeah. Well, they couldn't quite, but you know, nothing leaves the internet.
The internet.
Eternal.
Yeah. It's weird. There's this, I forgot her name, but she does, have you heard of Depths of Wikipedia?
Yes, yes.
I forgot the woman's name that does it, Taylor or something?
Yeah.
but she has this extremely online book, and she talks about how, I kind of agree with her that social media and the internet, it shouldn't be forever. Like, stuff should have, like, expiration dates. What do you think about that?
There should always be a shelf life, dude.
Yeah. Because, like, I'll get Facebook memories now from when, 2009. I'm like, I've had two different lives between then.
Coming from someone who started his Facebook when he was in sixth grade.
Damn.
Man, those memories are just like shots to the chest. Yeah. I think my first Facebook status ever popped up in November, because I remember, because I, on my 12th birthday, my parents were like, you can get a Facebook. And my first status ever, 12-year-old Jones, no problems, no cares in the world.
Right.
I think the first status was bored again, ..
Oh, no.
I'm like, oh, Jones.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm sure every once in a while I'll get like a Smiths lyric pop up from... Yeah. Your status, you know, and you know, that was whenever, you know, the status is where your name is, whatever.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a little bit older than you, but you know,
I'm 25. So I'm kind of like in the in between of terminally online and like, I still had dial up as a kid.
Yeah. You know? Okay. So You dial up was a kids. They got it too easy now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a whole other frightening conversation how easy the internet is now. But
yeah, I feel so much older, especially like me and my girlfriend moved up here like 2 years ago from Mobile. I don't know if you've spent time in Mobile.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. So they've got decent independent scene and stuff down there. But
those venues in Mobile actually like kick ass.
Yeah, they've got some great venues down there. But up here, there's like shows every night, and I've made friends with, especially like the hardcore community. There's like shows every night.
Every
and I was like, fuck,
night.
Dude, I can't keep up. I can go to one a week maybe, and I feel so old now.
Dude, I mean, I get it, and I see it from booking shows. And it's so cool. Like, it's so awesome that Birmingham has got to that point.
Oh, where for sure.
Find something
to
do. But yeah, like, I had a show a couple weeks ago on like a Wednesday night, and there were four other shows happening in town. I'm like,
on a Wednesday?
On a Wednesday? Yeah. Like, it's just wild to me.
Did you grow up in Birmingham?
No. So I grew up in Pell City. So just like east of Birmingham.
My parents live there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Pell City Steakhouse.
Old Reliable. I went to the church across the street for forever.
Right on.
It made me non-religious.
that'll happen.
That's how it goes. Yeah. I grew up in Pell City, but I was, you know, we weren't really like a super great fit in Pell City. Just like we were super interested in music and like indie stuff and not great in Pell City. So we spent a ton of time in Birmingham. Yeah. We were going to Bottle Tree very, very young, which is like forever how I shaped how I do anything is that venue.
It's good.
So, I tell people I'm from Birmingham. I'm actually from Pell City. That's where the diploma's from, unfortunately. But, you know, it's all relative.
So your dad was taking you to shows in your...
Yeah, I think we
early on.
I think my first proper rock show was at 8 years old. It was the Raconteurs, Jack White's side project in Atlanta. Yeah,
Your dad's cool as hell.
No, I got lucky, and my mom too. Like, they both were super into cool stuff, so that's cool. I think honestly, they just drug us around because they didn't want to pay for a babysitter. So if it was an all ages show, they'd be like, "All right, cool, come on." Yeah,
that's better. Yeah, that's better than just leaving you at home with like a. Dog food pile
on the ground. Yeah. Yeah. Here's some chicken nuggets. Don't kill your brother.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, I don't know. It's interesting. You were talking about your dad, like, kind of recording stuff and, like...
Hush up!
Hush it up!
Jones is out here!
Yeah, but there's, like... I'm not into jam band stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's like every show gets recorded and there's like this crazy catalog.
Yeah.
And so are you into jam stuff?
So it's a funny story, and if my boss at Avondale ever listens to this, she's gonna give me shit, because Avondale is like kind of jam band city, like that they grew up like massive, like,
okay,
you know,
yeah,
doing a ton of like Grateful Dead cover bands, yeah, yeah. And we, you know, I detested jam music. Same. Until I was just like force fed it.
Yeah.
And I like it a little bit better now. Like, I like Goose. I like Fish better than like any of the other classic guys.
Yeah,
I will
for
never
sure.
turn it on necessarily, but
it's like, where do you turn it on?
Yeah, yeah.
What song
but,
do you
but the
start
concept,
playing?
So this band Goose that we had last year, it's like the biggest jam band around right now. I mean, after every single show, throws up their set mixed and mastered on Bandcamp.
Is it Setlist.fm or what's the Setlist website?
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, I mean they. You could go find the set list if you want, but they're going to have it on their
Bandcamp. Oh, sorry. I misunderstood. Goose is actually uploading
this. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
No, that's like a whole part of their operation, which is just, I mean, seriously, you go to their website right now and you can pick any show that they've played over the past 5 or 6 years of being, if you want to go stream the Avondale show, you can go pull it up right now and listen to it. And it sounds good. It doesn't sound like a shitty live record, you know? It actually like sounds like they've put time into it, but I remember talking to them about when they were around. They literally turned out in like 24 hours. It's just like, damn, a machine. But no, and I think that is a cool part of the jam community, is kind of that go back and re-listen. I'm not a huge live albums guy, period. But just the concept of, I don't know, that takes a lot of work to do that. So it's super impressive to me to be able to keep that up, especially as you become like a massive name. Now, you know, if I have to fight with Deadheads over like which 1974 set was the best, I don't give a fuck. Like, it's just not worth that to me.
Denver, but, July 15th. Yeah. Were you there?
No, I was not alive.
I wasn't alive yet. Thank you. Yeah, yeah.
But some people are super passionate about it, and that's super cool to me, you know?
Yeah, I was, you know, we have similar jam band experiences is what it sounds like, because I was just like, fuck this. Fucking song should be 2.5 minutes long. Okay, I'm a Ramones guy, so I'm like, cut off is 2.5 minutes. But no, I had friends who are super into it, and they turned me on to like, well, you know, they like, there's bootlegs of like every show ever, of all these bands,
yeah,
fucking Widespread Panic and Grateful Dead, and I'm just like, why? You know,
again, I love it if people are into that, but. Yeah, I agree with you. Like,
I can appreciate it now.
Yeah, I
understand.
I can appreciate how much effort it took and that people care about it.
Yeah.
Do I have the time to invest in that? Absolutely not. Like, I just can't go digging through that too deeply.
Yeah.
It's cool, though, like with special guests or whatever, if there was someone that showed up in 1977 at Boise, Idaho, it's like, oh, shit.
Miles Davis with the Grateful Dead. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I guess every community has their own little weird.
Yeah.
But it is, I don't know, as it is cool that somebody was like, hey, you know, it'd be awesome if we just record this whole fucking show.
Yeah.
And just bootleg it and sell the bootleg, or, you know, well, now it's not. I guess people sell bootlegs. Is that a thing anymore?
I see different bands approach it in different ways. Like, even someone like Pearl Jam has a pretty active taper and bootleg community.
Yeah.
And just putting it out there, I fucking hate Pearl Jam. just before I start talking, like, just know that this is my
Eddie Vedder, if you're listening.
Sure, he's a nice guy. but I remember they have like forums and stuff where that's like freely like shared back and forth. And then some jam bands will like release the bootlegs like for sale if they're official, and I don't know. It's a crazy, crazy world. It's just so much content. Like, it's just so much stuff that.
I feel not weird, but like, all, it's like similar to like doing the podcast stuff where it's like, I just crank out an hour and just put the content out there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like,
it's all art in some way, shape, or form. Yeah. So it's hard for, you know, it's not causing any harm to anybody. And if it makes people happy, go for it. Right. That's awesome.
I would like to cause harm with my podcast at some point, but we got to get the numbers up. No, I'm just joking. I saw you, the Lil Wayne show on your Instagram.
Yeah. That was a wild one.
Was it fun shooting him?
That was the craziest. I mean, it's funny because for some shows it's like super detailed, and then for some shows it's just like, all right, you're just thrown in for three songs.
Yeah,
that was the most packed I've ever seen that venue ever, and I've shot probably close to 100 or 150 shows at Iron City. It just felt like there were people like hanging off of the rails. And I remember they didn't give me a photo pit for that one because it was just too full. There's no way to walk through it. And I'm like on the side. So, you know, Iron City's like got the pit and then like kind of the raised area and the bars over here.
Yeah.
And so I'm like over here by the stage where I typically would walk into the photo pit. But there's like fucking 300 people in this section where typically there's 100. So I'm just literally, he comes on stage. I'm joking with my friend the whole time that he's not coming out because, you know, Lil Wayne's just eternally like late to everything. Right. That's his whole brand. He shows up on time.
Damn.
And I just throw up my camera and just start clicking. I mean, like, it's so full that I cannot properly look. I just set my settings to what I think might work.
Yeah.
Just throw it up 20 seconds. Pull it back down, look at it, adjust, get a little bit more strategic. And so I'm just like battling through the crowd. You know, rap shows, they rarely play like the whole song. So like the whole three song rule, I've probably got like 4 minutes to like get my shots. And so I'm just walking around again, not even looking at what I'm shooting at any point. I'm just throwing it up there and hoping for the best.
Right.
And I think I stayed for like 6 or 7 songs, but it was so packed. And even though I love Lil Wayne, I was trying to get out of there. And I get out, and then I got like 3 or 4 incredible photos. One of them was so good. His team, like the one with the hand, that's on Instagram. Yeah. His team reached out to me. There were a couple people in the comments that were like, Wayne should use this as his album art. And I was like, that'd be the coolest shit ever. God. Tag him. Why not? Let's see what happens. And his team reached out to me.
Yeah.
And nothing ever came of it. But that was one of those crazy instances where, you know, I was like 6 or 7 years into doing this when that show hit, and you think you know what you're doing. They get thrown into a situation where you have no clue what you're doing, and then something good's able to come from it.
Yeah. Has there been a show recently in the past like year or so where you've been like, fuck, I've never, this is something fucking new. I gotta.
I'm trying to think of what.
Well, maybe let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Do some teams of the artists give you like limitations of like only the right side?
Oh my God. Yes. Oh man. All right. So they're
only up above from the right side.
Sometimes it gets so, so crazy. And there are times when I can like respect it and appreciate, ultimately it's like a privilege to be able to do this thing. So like you gotta play by the rules. Sometimes it gets fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
There's an artist. I'm not gonna.
Name you don't have no.
I'm no, no. I'm not gonna name drop because like, their team is really cool. That will only let you photograph them. You cannot photograph dead on in the middle when you're in the pit. It has to be from either side.
Okay.
So we are at a festival, where this artist is playing like a very, very big set, and there are like 60 or 70 photographers at this festival that are all corralled in this photo pit. And typically that's fine because you've got enough room to move around, spread around. But because this artist only lets you photograph from the side, they just had us corralled into like basically little pens where we're just like standing. It's
the left side and the right side.
Yeah. No one's moving. All of the shots look exactly the same. And there was one poor girl that didn't get the email that wanders into the middle and just starts.
Photographer though.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. One poor photographer that doesn't get the email. That's just shooting from the middle.
Ooh, get the fuck out.
Yank the fuck out of there. Gone. So yeah, you get stuff like that. I've had artists kind of like the Adrian Lenker story I told, ask for like no shutters before, which again, you can usually accommodate. There was one cool thing. There's this band that I love called Unknown Mortal Orchestra. I didn't shoot this, but they got a lot of flack last year because for their pretty big tour, like they were playing like some pretty big rooms, major markets, they mandated that you could only photograph them with film cameras. They would not accept anything digital. If you got approved to shoot and you showed up with a digital camera, you're not getting in the pit. I remember just going on Facebook to like a concert photographers group or whatever, and everyone's just like complaining. Someone showed up with a digital camera, even though it pretty explicitly said don't to, got kicked out, and then went to Facebook and started complaining about it. I think that's badass. Like something like being able to take a stylistic stance like that, I'm like, go for it, dude.
That's interesting. But how, I guess, How many professional, like working photographers like yourself have like decent enough like film?
I mean, I don't shoot with film.
Right.
Zero. Yeah. So if I wanted to shoot it, I'd be fucked. But like, you know, I remember he's a particularly combative artist on Twitter, and he was talking back and forth with the photographer that was pissed about it. He's like, look, man, everything that we did for this record was shot on film. You want to shoot me? Come shoot me on film. And so there's as ridiculous of a request as it is, I think that I have a little bit of respect of being like, these are the rules, play by the rules, go
yeah,
for it.
I like that. Yeah, it's sometimes it's good to be limiting because you don't know what the hell's going to come out if it's there's like, just have a free-for-all.
Yeah, no, it's good. And again, that's how, kind of going back to the image thing we were talking about of like being able to concoct like an image for your art.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's better than just saying like no photographers allowed, because like you can still let people create something around you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gosh. Again, I didn't shoot that show. I had a friend that bought just a Polaroid, just like one of the shitty ones, just to get a free ticket to shoot the show.
Yeah. You should have tried to get on that show. And you're like, you have the Kodak yellow Insta camera.
No, I know people that literally showed up with one of those and like, it works. It's film. They let them shoot.
Gosh.
But yeah, shout out Unknown World Orchestra for pissing off photographers.
Are they the Honeybee song?
Yeah,
it's that one. Hot song. God.
Great band, man.
Yeah.
Love them so much.
I would like an artist to go the opposite direction and be like, we're only shooting on Game Boy Advances. The little Game Boy Advance camera.
Yeah.
That's all we're doing.
Yep.
Okay.
3DS is only.
3DS? Yes.
Man, there's this really, really incredible photographer out of Atlanta named Tess. I can't remember her last name, that I met shooting some stuff in Atlanta, that has been shooting on the 3DS, like actually in the photo pit and like making really cool like collages and stuff from it. It does crack. I see them in crowd. It's always like super young kids. They're just like doing it from the meme that'll bring it out. Yeah. So I always see that, and it's always fun to take photos of them taking photos with their 3DS.
Yeah.
But yeah, all 3DS in the photo pit. That'd be awesome.
What would be a good artist for that, do you think?
I'm going to go with like 100 Gex or just something. One of those terminally online, you know.
100 Gex, I could see that.
Yeah, they'd be into it.
That's another thing, trying to listen to them. Somebody recommended them to me. I was like, fuck, am I just too old?
It took me a second to come around.
Maybe I need to go back through.
It took me a second. I mean, the first time I listened to it, I was like, fuck, this is just completely,
it's
this
insane.
This is garbage. Like, it's, this is just like somebody, throwing spaghetti at a wall. Right, like, it's terrible.
Somebody put a bunch of spaghetti in a computer while they had Fruity Loops up.
And they're playing Mario. But I don't know. I went back through it, and then I also saw them late night at Bonnaroo a couple years back, and it clicked for me. I was like, okay, oh, this is just fun.
Get it.
Yeah, it's just fun.
Yeah.
It's not my album of the year. It's just fun. There's a legend. I have a friend that's a journalist that gave me a quote that I use often, that's not everything has to be Radiohead.
It's true.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel I'm into like, I like fine art stuff, but then I also like professional wrestling. Yeah. So it's like, you know,
you gotta
have,
not everything has to be super high concept.
Right.
Like stuff can just be dumb and fun sometimes.
Right. I've learned. Yeah. Do you have strong feelings about people taking shitty pictures with their phones at shows?
Oh man, this is going to make me sound like a boomer.
I don't think so.
To a point. The thing that kills me about phones, and I see this more with younger crowds, so kind of like, and I like all these artists, so it's not really talking shit on the artistry as much as it is the fandom that surrounds them. So like, the boy geniuses or the Mitskis and the artists that like Gen Z has like really gravitated to, I see more and more now kids just filming everything.
Like the whole thing?
Like a whole thing. And it doesn't upset me because it doesn't get in my way. And I like to take videos and photos at concerts too to have memories. But I feel like, I don't know, man. Like living through your phone during a moment like that is just wild to me.
Ma'am.
Like I couldn't do it. And again, it's kind of going back to the first part talking about my dad, like filming everything as a kid. Right. There's not a whole lot of difference there, except for maybe intent of like, what are you actually going to go back and relive this? Or are you just like filming it 'cause you feel like you have to.
Yeah.
iPhone photos are cool. Don't use flash. That'll piss me off.
Oh yeah.
Just don't, terrible. Don't do that. Yeah.
It's not gonna work.
My eternal favorite move that I see every show, I'm guilty of it too, is when you see someone go up with it like this and then you see, and they go, oh shit. And they pull it back down. Yeah. But yeah, I've been to a couple shows. I know Jack White does this not pretty often completely with all of his shows, where he does like the Yonder pouches where you lost.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And I remember the first time I did it, I was so pissed off about it because like, how am I going to scroll through Instagram or whatever, you know?
Right.
It's awesome. Like, it's really, really cool. Like, being able to just put it down. As someone that works in marketing and I'm on my phone all day because I work with Instagram.
Right.
It's really cool to like put that down and just take that moment to enjoy the show. Yeah. So if we could have more if we could have more shows with no phones, I'd be here for it. That'd be cool.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of like if you go to a wedding and they're like, you can't take pictures. Like, we got a photographer here.
Yes, yeah.
You know, that's what it reminds me of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, in the case of a wedding, too, they'll fuck up the shot. Like, oh, that happen all the time. Like, it's just, and then you got to tell grandpa to fuck off. It's terrible.
Meemaw has her camera out. It's her iPad. Aisle. Yeah.
Her iPad.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Grandma, why do you have a 3DS? I got the 3DS, yeah.
Oh, the kids, the 100 gecks, they're doing it. The 50 gecks, they're doing it.
I've heard there's a frog on the floor.
Have you, in your photography career, have you tried to branch out into like sports and you're like, this is my thing?
God, I have so
live sports.
I have so much respect for sports photographers because that's so fucking hard. Yeah. Like, it's just like, I talk about the spontaneity of, you know, the first three songs of That's All You're Limited To.
Yeah.
I mean, sports photographers just have to, like, fight for that moment that maybe something happens right in front of them.
It's like nature photography, almost, in a weird way.
Yeah, a little bit, where you're waiting for the one instance to grab it.
Yeah.
I've done a little bit. I've shot some basketball events before, but I've never really... I don't really have the gear for it. Like, you kind of need, you know, a longer zoom and...
Mm.
A lot more patience than I have.
Yeah, so, I feel you.
All the respect to them, though. I have a couple of friends down at Auburn that do like all of the photography for those events, and I can't imagine doing it. It's difficult.
Yeah, yeah. I would imagine you'd have to like know, like which guy is like the star, or you'd have to know like the roster and be like, oh, this guy's gonna he's gonna have a. I don't know, a crazy 3-point from the logo or whatever.
Well, I'm a big sports guy, so I feel like I could get that piece. I would just, going back to what you were saying earlier about you ever frustrated that you missed the shot. Oh, that would kill me, like for sports photography.
And sports, it's like, it's not like an artist where they might repeat their little shimmy or whatever.
Nope. You know? Yeah. But it's a cool thing. I'd like to do more of it. It's hard to get into that world, though. It's funny. Most of the folks that I know that are actively like making money in sports photography started when they were in college.
Mm.
And then because college athletics, it's just easy to plug in there with various organizations and stuff. And they're still doing it. Yeah. So, but it's cool. It's a cool thing.
Yeah, it seems, I guess it's just like anywhere else, any other like occupation or whatever, where knowing somebody is always... It's good. You know, obviously you got to be good at what you do.
Yes. Yeah. But,
yeah.
Well, I mean, and so much of what I do is relationships too. Like there are so many awesome publicists that I get to work with when I still do the press stuff, when I'm still shooting for publications rather than the venues I work at. There are some people that have really, really hooked me up in big ways that I'm eternally grateful for that. It's still relationship based.
Yeah. Hmm. Hmm. So anybody you'd like to call out? This is the call out. I'm just joking. I'm just joking. Don't call anybody out.
Beep.
No. It's a. Have you ever played? You talked about touring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had a band called The Frequently when I was. I guess me and my brother started it when we were super young, and we just had like a rotating. Like my cousin was playing in it. We had some friends doing stuff, but it was always like revolved around me and my brother.
Oh, yeah.
So we did that up until COVID hit, and then we grew up. No. Our guitarist left for Portland, and it was just like a good stopping point.
But tale as old as time.
Always Portland. Yeah. Portland.
We're going to Portland.
But no, my brother's still making music. He plays in a band called Bicycle Day.
Okay.
And I'm working on a project now with him, so hopefully we'll start playing again. It's just tough to find the time for it. That's what I find, is it's just everything else is so busy all the time that, like, I can create all the music and write all the music I want, but actually, like, putting it out and recording it and playing shows is just time-consuming.
Whole different ball of wax.
Yeah.
Is your brother in Birmingham?
Yeah, he's in Birmingham. He lives in Fultondale now, but, yeah,
okay.
Birmingham adjacent.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, maybe something by the end of the year. We'll see.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Do you get the same sense of accomplishment from photography as you do from like writing songs or performing?
Well, it's funny because it almost, those two hobbies and things in my life really traded each other out.
Mm.
So I got to college in 2017 and we were still doing stuff with the band. But that's when I really got into the photography thing. I was also in college doing, you know, school stuff.
Yeah.
And so slowly but surely it just like traded places.
Yeah.
It's a different feeling. I mean, like you said, you've played in bands. So like the adrenaline rush of being on stage is different than taking photos. Like they're both jobs and they're both creative hobbies. But, you know, I don't leave a photo shoot, like, exhausted and kind of fulfilled.
Sweet!
You know, that rush that you get after you play a good show. I definitely miss that in time. And I think that I've, with the other ventures in my world, have kind of replaced that a little bit. But I miss playing music. It's just fun. It's like, different. Nothing compares to it. So, again, fingers crossed we'll have something out by the end of the year.
Hell, yeah.
And my brother's, Ben's Project Bicycle Day, they kick ass. Like, they're great.
Hell, yeah. Check them out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, it's but when you're in the moment, do you take a picture or you're always going like?
Not always. I can be a little bit more strategic. Okay. I don't like the spray and pray method, as I call it.
Okay,
but sometimes it necessitates itself when you're, you know, dealing with an artist that's moving around a ton or a Lil Wayne scenario where I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just there and hoping for the best.
But do you take a picture and you're like, fuck, that's it. That's the one.
Every now and then, yeah. I differ from other photographers with this. I know people that will go through, like, you know, we get the first three songs to shoot usually. And I know people that will go through, as they're shooting and actively, like, delete duds off of their camera or find the ones that they like the best. Yeah. I do that all after the fact, you know, later on. But there are times when I can see something happening in front of me and I get the photo. I'm like, okay, that's the one that we're posting on like the Avondale Instagram the next day. Like that's going to happen. That's fewer and far between. Usually it happens like as I'm editing and I stumble upon it, I'm like, oh shit, this is good.
Yeah. So. Damn. Yeah. It seems like, it's interesting cause you're doing the work by taking the picture, taking all the pictures. Then you have to go through again and do the other work.
Yes.
Yeah.
Culling through. Oh, that, and that's the part that like stresses me out the most is like, I've got photo sets I'm going to leave here and go work on because I've just been putting them off. Cause, I don't know, you get like self-conscious of yourself in the editing process.
I believe it.
It's like, you can see the bones of a good photo that's trying to come out.
Yeah.
But you've got to like edit it to get it there. And sometimes you just can't. Sometimes it's a killer photo that's just going to look like shit because of the lighting or because of, you know, someone's eyes are just like barely closed. And and going back to the short-term memory, you just got to move on. You just got to move on and hope you got another photo. Now, if you've got no photos, then you're fucked. But,
yeah.
You know.
Gosh. That sounds very stressful.
It is. We're all sadistic.
Yeah, I mean, like, what else are you going to do? Yeah.
You just...
The risk is, or the reward is worth the risk of being stressed out.
Yeah. And I mean, like, the beauty of social media is that you kind of only need one. Like, you need, like, one photo that's going to work.
I guess.
So with Avondale, like, with the marketing that we do for the music stuff, obviously, you know, I want like a bank of stuff that I can pull from forever. But if I'm showing off a sold out show at the venue, you just need one photo to get the point across.
Yeah.
So it is like, you know, shooting fish in a barrel, but I'm trying not to psych myself out too much. But there have absolutely been times when I've walked away, I've been like, that sucked. Like, it's just terrible, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Are they, is there a, like an elevator or something being built? Yeah. We went to the like St. Patrick's Day celebration.
Yeah. Right? The shuck off.
Yeah. And, haven't been able to get to a show upstairs yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank God there is an elevator coming. So Birmingham bands that are out there, there's an elevator coming. There are no more stairs. TBD, we're working on it, but nice. Just very excited for like the next phase of, you know, what Avondale is going to look like. Like. There's some really, really cool stuff on the horizon. Elevator being one of them, but it's been a wild time. Construction in any capacity is always like the craziest thing ever.
And the Avondale space, just all of it is so huge. It's
we got a lot of room. Huge, it's been pretty crazy. Yeah.
Huge backyard, big stage area.
We've been really, really lucky. I always joke with folks that like we were, and so I've been working for Avondale since 2017, since I moved to Birmingham.
Oh, nice.
I was in a box office capacity doing ticketing, and then 2022 they promoted me, and now I run the ticketing and marketing. And
nice.
So I've been there and really just seen it, you know, just supernova to the moon. And I've got the greatest team that I manage, and like everything is really, really cool. And the growth has been crazy to see. Because we were a bar and brewery that accidentally backed into being a concert venue.
Yeah.
You know, I see a lot of people in the venue space build out venues of like, oh, we're going to make money and like bring in the coolest bands. And as you probably know, it's hard as fuck, dude. Yeah. Like, it's just like difficult to do that in the live music industry.
Wow.
And so I think a result of the way that we've done it as we have, Our team is so efficient in how we get stuff done because we've been doing it for so long and have just like gradually ascended to this place of, we're still going to deal with crazy shit. I mean, we're still going to deal with shows that have like 5 18 wheelers and 4 tour buses. We had Janelle Monáe last year. That was an arena tour that popped in Avondale. But we all lean on each other a lot because we've backed into this rather than said, we're going to do this. Like, it's been such a slow progression up to that point that we can manage just about anything now.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best way to go about something like that. Not just like you were saying, where it's like, let's just build a huge stage and they will come, you know.
They don't come. They don't come. No, you have to have, you know, really.
Spoilers.
Yeah. I mean, God, it just. And the live music industry right now is in such a, like, perilous place because of COVID. Like, everybody's touring and everybody's looking for dates and everybody's asking for more money and not many people are drinking anymore, which is like how these venues stay afloat, generally speaking, is on food and beverage. So again, having kind of like the space to breathe literally because we're such a wide open multi-purpose space and also having the team that we do that just kind of, we work pretty well together and everything goes really well. That kind of gives us the foundation to really grow at a sustainable pace.
Nice. Yeah.
All I have to say is the elevator is stressing me. I am so ready to stop carrying Marshall cabinets up the stairs. God, it is just like,
you get a 810 base cab. You got to.
Dude, I've loaded some crazy shit up those stairs. Yeah. Like it's, we had an act about a month ago. That was the loudest band I've ever put in that space that I thought was going to be like a singer songwriter folk thing. Yeah. Absolutely not. 4 8x10 cabs, like 3 Vox AC30s. Like this Moog synth setup that was bigger than anything. Like, and we have a pretty tiny stage up there. Like, it's only like 16x20. We've loaded some crazy stuff. It's always funny too because when I'm advancing with bands, I'm always very, very upfront of like, hey, loading is upstairs. We don't have an elevator.
Yeah.
Heads up, if you want a stagehand, we can figure it out. I'll be there. I'll help you. And then they still show up and they park by the staircase and they're like,
what the hell is this? You didn't
fucking tell me this,
that's the way it goes, you know. That's cool. It's exciting.
It's a good time. I've had a lot of fun in that room. It's been fun booking stuff up there.
That's cool. Yeah. Man, we've been going for 50 minutes-ish. Yeah. We can wrap this rascal. Is there anything you'd like to promote?
Follow You Should Be Listening. Instagram, Facebook, whatever. That's where I'm booking all these shows now. And we've got some cool stuff coming to Saturn and upstairs. I've got Swans at Saturn next week, which is going to be just... You talk about bucket list. That's a bucket list. That'll be fun. So that's really the only thing to plug, really.
Okay. I mean,
you'll probably see my photos somewhere at some point. And if you want to bless me with a follow, then...
I'll put all your stuff at the beginning of this episode. Yeah.
Totally.
Jones, you had options, but you decided to talk to me. I appreciate it.
First podcast checked off.
Another bucket list item.
Another bucket list. Yeah, podcast. Let me talk my shit.
We'll have to do it again. Yeah. Whenever you get, you and your brother, get the group going.
Absolutely.
We'll do both of them. Thanks.